new research from the Southern Ocean has some important news about climate change for Arizona. And scientists say their ability to do more work in that area will likely mean better climate change models for other parts of the globe, including the Sonoran Desert. Joellen Russell is an oceanographer and climate scientist at the University of Arizona and is one of the researchers working on this. She joins me. And Joellen, tell me first off about what exactly you were studying here.
You know, we live here in the desert, and I'm trying to figure out how much warmer it's going to get, how soon. And so I use a climate model, an Earth system model, and robot floats to look at the ocean, particularly the ocean around Antarctica, to see how much carbon and how much heat the ocean is taking up, which allows us with our models, our simulations of the future climate, to figure out how soon, how hot, how fast.
And what are you finding in terms of how soon, how hot, and how fast?
Well, the worry is, and this is what the new paper says, is that what we found when we finally got these robot floats deployed and working for a few years, and before we were really restricted to ships and we couldn't work under the ice, and the waves down there can be 100 feet high in the winter. I know, I've spent almost a year of my life doing oceanography around Antarctica. It is a tough gig down there, I'll tell you. So we're getting an unprecedented, revolutionary look at how the ocean, what it is, and how it's changing. And the scary part that comes out in this paper is that we're finding out that the oxygen is decreasing in the ocean around Antarctica, and that the acidity is increasing with the increase in CO2 from fossil fuel burning, and that it's getting much, much warmer, too. All of these things are actually bad if you're a fish or an oceanographer, but they're great if you're a human being who lives here in the Sonoran Desert, because it means that it's basically slowing how quickly the atmosphere warms because the ocean is taking up so much heat and carbon.
So this is actually, it sounds like, to some degree, good climate change news.
Well,
at least for people, maybe.
Yes, for people, the Southern Ocean is doing an incredible service. But we worry, of course, the reason to do this in these predictive models, so we use the data from the robot floats to sort of evaluate and try and improve our climate models. And what we found out from using the floats and comparing them to the regular model results is that we need to add more fresh water from Antarctica. Most climate models actually only use basically painted white rocks, not actual ice sheets around on Antarctica, as a matter of, you know, making the model run faster, and because we didn't think it was that important to have a fully dynamic ice sheet. Well, the problem is we've added all this fresh water, and it turns out it's capping all that heat in the ocean, plus, you know, not allowing it to breathe in the same way for the oxygen, and that is pretty terrible for the ocean. So it's a mixed bag, I'd say.
Melting ice at the poles, I think, are typically seen as a universally bad thing, but it sounds like in this maybe limited case, it's somewhat useful.
Well, yes, it is. Ever so slightly, the freshwater is reducing the rate of atmospheric warming, as you say, but I hesitate to call it a good thing, because while the ocean warms, what that does is makes the ocean expand, which means faster sea level rise. And when you warm the ocean, then you're also melting more of the ice, because the feet of the big ice sheets actually sit in the water. They're grounded underwater. So the warmer the water gets because of the capping from the fresh water, the more fresh water there is, so the more capping, so the more warming. So it's actually a feedback which can accelerate sea level rise.
How do you fit these models and this research into sort of the universe of indicators that scientists are looking at to try to predict what climate change might look like going forward?
So we're right on the front lines. I work with NOAA's Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory. NOAA is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. But did you know, I bet you didn't know, that about 6 weeks ago, the National Weather Service actually switched from their traditional atmosphere-only kind of model to a climate model. Actually, that climate model we developed at the Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory.
Huh.
Yeah. So we're actually, if you like your weather forecast, you know, thank an oceanographer.
I mean, I think most people like weather forecasts, right?
Yeah. Well, this is it. Is at this point, we are now, I mean, no, it's not exactly the same model. The Weather Service has its own innovations and amazing things that they do. But really, we're moving into a world where you need to consider how much heat the ocean is holding. So the worry is that we're on this big ramp up in CO2, and we're adding all the CO2, and it's blocking it from getting out back out to space. So every year, the top of the atmosphere energy imbalance increases. So the scary part is, okay, the atmosphere is not always warming completely every year everywhere. So where did it go? Where'd all that heat go? Well, 92% went in the ocean. Only 3% stays in the atmosphere. So that ocean heat didn't go anywhere. And we know what happens during an El Nino, where the ocean gives up just a little bit of that heat. During an El Nino here, we get more rain and it's warmer and all the rest of it. So what we're doing is basically charging the ocean full of heat and starting to see the impacts of that heat both on Antarctica and on the oceans worldwide. Australia, with the fires there, they're in this massive drought and it's extremely warm. And part of that is that the nice cool waters that used to be kind of the air conditioner for Australia, it's hot all the way around Australia in the ocean. And I worry because we sit at just about the same latitude as they do, and we've had a long drought.
Well, it's interesting because, we're obviously not anywhere near the Southern Ocean, and to an extent, we're not that close to an ocean. We're certainly not on a coast
No.
or anything like that. But it
Right.
sounds like what you're saying is that despite our lack of proximity to an ocean, the effects that are being seen there really could have a direct impact here.
Absolutely. Part of it is we don't have a buffer. If you lived on the East Coast with a whole lot of forest or big rivers or huge lakes, we wouldn't necessarily follow the global mean temperature. But because we don't have any buffers, our lakes are small, our forests are relatively thin, we don't have a big buffer. We are just following the global mean. So as the ocean, and it's 92% of the global heat, top of the atmosphere energy imbalance goes, so goes the Sonoran Desert.
All right, that is Jo Ellen Russell, an oceanographer and climate scientist at the University of Arizona. Jo Ellen, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.